You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Welcome to Diablo's Digest, episode number 2. I'm your host, Jay Reason, and today I am joined by my friend, Nick Burns from Hard Target. Nick is filling in for Yvonne, who you guys heard on the last episode. So Nick, what's up? Say what's up to everybody.
Yo, what's going on, guys?
Awesome, man. I'm excited that you will be helping me on today's episode. So yeah, before we jump into the context of everything, man, I want to give a huge shout out to our sponsor, DannyDiabloMerch.com and Force 5 Records. As you know, Diablo's Digest is a spinoff of our main show, The Diablo's Den. This is a supplemental podcast that makes up for the episodes in between. We got a lot of good feedback on the first episode, so I want to thank Zach from Pain of Truth for doing that. Working on some other cool ideas for shows. This one's going to be one of them. This is something I could see us doing kind of often because they're kind of cool and quick. So yeah, my friend Nick, who you guys will all recognize from an awesome band called Hard Target. So yo, Nick, how are you, man? Thank you again for filling in, man. What's going on?
Yo, I'm great, man. Just chilling. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course, man. So for those of our listeners who don't know you, tell us a little bit about your band. I know you guys just recently put something out on Crime Wave. So tell us a little bit about where you guys are from, the name of the band, the basic info for the listeners.
Yeah, we're just like pretty much a hardcore band from the Central Mass area, like Worcester area. We just dropped like a single recently with Matt from Barrier Dead on it.
Let's not spoil that one too much, because that one's going to go into something that you and I are going to talk about a little bit on in a few minutes. So save that one, because I want to talk about that. But you did just put out, it must be about 4 months ago at this point, 5 months ago, you guys put out a full, was it a 12-inch LP on Crime Wave? Was that EP, right?
Yeah, so Rob from Crime Wave put out both of our old EPs as a single release.
That's awesome, so, man.
When we hit the studio, we typically like try to just do like a quick 5-6 songs and just keep new music coming. So
that's awesome. And we're gonna talk about one of your new tracks that was pretty surprising. I think that everybody wasn't expecting so soon. So we're gonna dive into that. So Nick, so today's idea for the show, I thought would be a lot of fun, that one of the things me and Yvonne talked about the other week was the death threat shows that played. And I thought it'd be a lot of fun to recap those. Obviously, since Yvonne couldn't be here, I thought it'd be awesome to have you join me on this and talk about it. So we're going to get into that. But I do want to make a correction to something that we plugged on the last episode. The show, we were talking about the Thompson Square Park show. That show has been updated to Saturday, April 29th. I think we gave another date, but it's still at the same location, Thompson Square Park. Nick, the lineup for this park show is insane. I don't know if you've seen it, but it was Madball, Murphy's Law, Crown of Thorns. So shout out again, Dan Diablo Merch, Lord Ezak, our brother, Vulture Raid, and the Capturers. It's a benefit for Ray's Candy Store. This starts at 2:00 and it's at Thompson Square Park. I Nick, have you ever been out to one of those park shows before?
Yeah, so actually, I hit up that one like just after COVID. That one that they had thrown together. It was Madball, Wisdom in Chains. I think Capturers played that as well.
Yeah, so you know that those are a really good time.
Oh, it was a blast. Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, man. So I wanted to, I just wanted to cover and correct that date, because I think that when we first announced it and talked about it 2 weeks ago, it was something else. So yeah, Saturday, April 29th. They are collecting money for Ray. So if you can give something, please do that. So, yo, Nick, let's talk about fucking the Death Threat shows, man, that just passed. Pretty fucking awesome, wouldn't you say? I saw you there. You were there for night one.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, what'd you think of the vibe? I mean, it was fucking, I would say packed, but I feel like that's just what doesn't even give people the idea of how crowded that place was. I said I had estimated that maybe there was another 100 people too, like just in the parking lot that didn't come in.
There was so many people there. I mean, it was just like, it felt like old times, right? Like I kind of grew up in the Connecticut scene because I kind of grew up in like Springfield area. So
yep.
Like I was always down in Connecticut. So it was like a family reunion. You know what I mean? Like legitimately, it was just so many people I haven't seen in so long. And just a really, actually like a really good vibe, right? Like I thought that show had, I thought it was going to be like a more tense vibe almost, you know what I mean? With like the new kids and the old ones. But I felt like it was actually just like a super, super cool vibe. You know what I mean? Like everyone was just like enjoying themselves.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to say I was very stressed that day only because everyone was looking for tickets. And I think, you know, this because we talked a little bit about this in the parking lot, which just made for such a stressful situation because obviously, you know, I want everybody to get in and I want to help everybody get in. But at some point, you know, there is a limit and there was, you know, a finite amount of tickets and stuff. So I was really stressed going into it. But dude, once I got there and kind of everything was like in motion, you know, it was fine. But yeah, like leading up to it, man, I was just so stressed because everybody was like trying to get in and get tickets.
I know exactly how you feel because that's how I felt about the Saturday show, which we'll get into after. So.
Yeah, I can't wait to ask you about that.
Playing a sold out show, you know what I mean? Like, and everybody that slept on getting tickets just wants to get tickets.
Oh, yeah. And then you magically have like every best friend that week. Like, I mean, dude, there was, I'm not going to embarrass the Instagram account that did this. I'll tell you, Nick, when I see you, if I didn't tell you this story after, but there was a very notable, we'll just say, Instagram account that when Ezak and I launched this podcast, I had sent them a message being like, hey, listen, I know that you are a supporter of what Danny does and, you know, X, Y, and Z. I was like, you know, it'd be cool if you could like give us a push. You know, we were like a brand new podcast, man. And a lot of this shit is like word of mouth, you know, it's how you get listeners and all that stuff. And it went unread, you know, and I was kind of like, whatever, dude, fine. Fuck it. You know, this is a couple years ago, but I got a message from that account that week, asking if we had tickets, and I left it on red. So I just for once had a little bit of a redeeming thing. But yeah, so let's get into the shows, man. So the first show was on Friday. For those who aren't familiar, Nick, break down, because you're from out of state. So I feel like I the way that I would explain the State House, it just always makes it sound awesome because it's my favorite venue. As a dude like you who lives out of state, travels a bunch, goes to a bunch of venues, what's your take on the State House and when you saw that Death Threat, these shows were going to be there?
So I'm like partial to the State House. I like everything about it except for, you know, like, I mean, I'm a mosher, dude. So,
yeah.
So the pillars are like kind of a downfall for someone like me, but it's still like enough room, you know what I mean? If you want to get gnarly, you can get gnarly. So
yeah, and it just, you know what I like about it, man, it's got like the perfect, I guess other than the pillars, everybody knows I'm not a mosher, although I did stage dive, or I guess merch, I know, table dive off stuff during Demons, and we'll get into that. But what I like the most, Nick, about the State House is, to me, and I don't know if anybody will remember this venue outside of people my age and up a little bit, is that it reminded me of the Tune-In in so many ways, man. The setup, the part, you know, this has a parking lot situation. It's just like, you know, you can go around the corner and grab like a kind of a decent slice, but you could also walk to all the great pizza places. So I love how central it is. I'm really bummed that it's going to be gone soon. But yeah, so you agree, this is definitely like a cool place to come see this type of show. Like definitely when I saw it announced there and they had asked us if we would play, and I think I mentioned this last time, I was like, fuck, there's no way I'm going to miss this, you know?
Yeah. I said the same thing, right? Like there's no chance I was going to miss Friday's show. But yeah, like, and honestly, the sound, the stage, everything else about the venue is sick. Like the little green room downstairs is awesome. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like there's places you can escape, the reentry, like a lot of places don't let you reentry anymore. So it's like just having that freedom is nice.
Yeah, totally, man. I agree. So let's dive into the lineup of this, and we're gonna just kind of go through the bands, and I just want to hear your take. So the first band that opened up the night was C4. So I got to catch like the first half of their set. I was getting kind of, I had to go help and do a bunch of stuff. I thought they were fucking really good. I really liked their album. We sold a bunch of copies at the store, so I was really looking forward to them. I don't think I'd gotten to see them. Nick, have you seen C4 before? I'm imagining you have, and probably have played shows with them and stuff.
We've never played with them, but I've definitely seen them a few times before this, and out in Boston. But yeah, I mean, I love the band, man. They're just like a very fun hardcore band, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just easy, you know, easy punky hardcore, very stompy, you know what I mean? Just fun.
Yeah, so. Totally. I thought they were a really good fit for this first night too. You know, it kind of like, because they are a newer band, but I could see how they like would appeal to people who are around like of my age, if that makes any sense, you know?
Yeah, it's more like a old school vibe to them.
Yeah.
Like that dirty punk hardcore, you know, however you want to describe it, right? So
yeah,
it's definitely very, very fitting for like, it was like half and half, right? So it's very fitting, you know?
Yeah, totally, man. No, I really thought they were good. And like I said, man, I was looking forward to seeing them only because, you know, we had sold so many of the album. I think, I hope I get the name right. Was it Chaos Streaks is the name of their record? I believe that's the name of their album. If I'm wrong, I will edit it, but I'm pretty sure that's the name of it. And we sold just a ton of copies, man. So I was really excited to see them. So shout out to them for, do you know where they're from, Nick? I don't want to say the wrong thing. Did you say they're from Boston?
Yeah, they're a Boston band for sure.
Boston. So respect to that. So next was everyone's favorite Connecticut, guy, Yvonne Murillo's band. Dead wrong. So yeah, like this, their label mates with you guys with on Crime Wave. So shout out again to Rob. I saw that they got the vinyl in time for this, which was really exciting. Because, and I'm sure you know this too, Nick, because I'm sure Rob was telling you like he didn't know if it was gonna show up.
Yeah, it was like a crazy tight turnaround.
Yeah, but right, hey, man, much to his credit, as always, he got it done, and the records were there. I still have not gotten my fucking copy. But I'm guessing that someone has saved me one since I originally put it out. Kind of same thing, man. I was I only got to catch, I would say, about half the band. So why don't you kick it off first, Nick, and then I'll talk a little bit about what I saw.
I mean, I felt like the whole band was on point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like sometimes you get into those reunions and you're like, oh, I don't know how this is going to go. You know what I mean? Like, did they practice enough, or did they, you know what I mean? Have they been actually putting effort into this, or is it just going to be?
So I know a little, you know, behind the curtain stuff. I mean, Yvonne was ready. You know what I mean? We talked a lot about this. He was fucking training, man. He was having his rocky moment, for sure. I thought they sounded really good, dude. Like you said, it's like, you don't really know. And I'm not just saying this because they're my friends and I know how that sounds. Anybody who knows me and my relationship with Yvonne, like, we are very honest with each other. So if something was super shot, I would tell them. I thought they brought it. You know what I mean? I think at that show, dude, you're playing with fucking 100 Demons and Death Threat. It's like, you got to sound good. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
even if you're like, you know, not a, like a pro core sounding band or whatever, it's like, dude, those bands just have something and you got to bring it. What did you think of the crowd? Because I kind of missed that. How was the reaction for them? I only got to catch a couple things because we were about to play and I was getting pulled in every direction. How was the crowd for them?
It was good. Like, I felt like everyone was actually like paying attention, right? And then you had like the handful of diehard fans that were like singing every word. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I felt like it was like they had a really good like reaction for that, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's also tough to judge because, right, like, it's 100 Demons and Death Threat. Maybe if Dead Wrong did a show by themselves, maybe more people would come out because it was like, I don't know how to explain it. Like,
it was definitely, I can say this, and I was going to say it when we get to the next band, quote unquote. It was definitely like, you could tell that
everyone was there for those bands, you know what
well,
I mean?
Well, or like, dude, or they were just saving the energy too for 100 Demons and Death. Like, you could feel it in the room. Like, So I don't want to get too far ahead on Saturday because you weren't there on Saturday. You were doing your thing, which we're going to get into. But to tell you, just because you and I were both there Friday, the energy in the room Saturday was like completely different. Like you definitely could feel it. It was still crowded as fuck. Like, but you know, just the vibe. I can't explain it other than the energy was just a different vibe. Whereas like, I'm not saying Friday felt like violent or anything weird like that, but there was definitely something in the air. The magic, I was calling it. Like you just felt like somebody's going to pop off on this, you know? Thankfully it didn't. Everything stayed relatively calm.
I feel like it's just that the energy the 100 Demons brings to every show they play. I feel like it's just like you go into a 100 Demons show, no matter your age or how many times you've seen them, you go into that show and you're just expecting absolute chaos,
right?
You know, when they play. So like, I feel like everyone was just like behaving themselves and waiting for the chaos to right. like explode. You know what I mean? Like just for that explosion. So yeah, I
agree. I would agree with that statement. Like it definitely felt like, people were waiting. Like, yeah, that what you just said is definitely like a perfect example. It's like, you know, just waiting for it to pop off. It was great. I thought too, the parts I did catch of Dead Wrong, like you said, man, it was cool. I think there was definitely like some diehard Connecticut friends of ours who were waiting for sure for them. You know what I mean? And you could just tell, yeah. Like, you know, I think Yvonne, I don't want to say the wrong thing. I think he had said they had played in like maybe 7 or 8 years. So it was cool.
His energy was awesome, man. He
was training, bro. You could tell.
I know, it was great. And when he took his shirt off, you know, icing on the cake.
Dude. Yeah, Jenna had him training for sure, because she had him playing extra basketball.
The
other cool thing I thought with Dead Wrong was like to getting to see some of those other guys. So, you know, I got to put out that record back in the day, so I always saw them. And then as we've grown up, you know, like I don't see Brett as much. I don't see Jack or Sean or Dan. So it was really cool in that sense to see them back on stage and just kind of have like a moment of like, yo, holy fuck, we used to do this every day kind of thing, or like every weekend. And now it's like, oh, once a fucking, you know, 8 years or 9 years. So I thought that they were really good. Shout out to them. I think, Yvonne said that they're going to do, you know, a couple more things to try to help move some vinyl. So that will be good. So yeah, keep up with them on Instagram, and Yvonne will be back on the next episode. So I'll be sure to, you know, ask him about his set and see what he thought. So, next band, Nick, everybody's favorite too, The Distance, Connecticut Hardcore.
led
by yours truly.
I mean, you can't go wrong with The Distance. So
I'm not going to comment on saying anything about like, oh, whatever about us. I'll just say, I thought that we played really well. Coming off that Crown of Thorns show a couple months back, I was so excited to play this too, man. Like I said, man, leading up to it, I was just excited, kind of nervous, anxious. It was just like, you know, I said this to the Dead Wrong guys. It was like a really tough crowd. I think a lot of that had to do that it was just like, it was so crowded in there. So I'm going to tell you the story that I was saying to Pitts. Shout out Pitts, who threw the show with Seventh Circle. When you're on that stage, and the way that club kind of light, the light fills that club, it tends to look like it's empty even when it's packed, right? So
yeah. I've been there.
Yeah. So like, like it just looked like kind of like, I don't know, man, we were about to play and I just see, you know, the inevitable kind of just circle forming. And there's just like the light right there. And I'm like, fuck, it looks kind of like weird in here, you know? So then you heard me kind of say like, yo, move up or whatever. And then I thought, you know, it was great. But from my perspective, dude, it looked like it was just like a little like, I don't know how to explain it, but basically it looked like everybody was kind of pushed towards the back. Right. And I kept telling people to move in. And then Pitts came up to me after and was just like, he was like, dude, he's like, you're telling people to move in. He was like, there was nowhere to go. He was like, everybody was jammed up. So it's just funny. So I'll just say from my experience that the stage was like deceivingly made it look like everybody was a little further back than it was. But yeah, I thought we played really well. And I thought I had a really good time. I think we'll do it again in the winter, give some time. Yeah. And that's all I'll say for that right now. But, I don't know. What did you think, Nick, as a, I don't want to put you on the spot, but as someone who watched, the distance play, what'd you think? Would agree with that? I thought we played super solid.
Yeah. I mean, you guys killed it. You guys sounded great. Oh, thanks, even man. Even that first show back at Crown of Thorns, you guys sounded like super good.
Oh, thanks,
I mean, you
man.
Guys are seasoned musicians, right? So like you guys put some effort in and like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I said, it's like that comeback show. You never know how it's going to be, you know? It's like,
well, yeah.
You guys sounded great.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. And I feel you, man. Like I remember, you know, thinking about the Crown of Thorns shows and like, man, those first couple of rehearsals were super rough only because, you know, dude, like in fucking 2006 and 7 up to 2008, when I was doing a band full time, that's all I ever did. I didn't do anything else. So now it's like, all I do is kind of like, you know, like work on label shit and work at the shop and do my own thing. So it was almost took a second to like get back into it, you know? And then a lot of times too, and you know this, man, because you're a front man, it's like getting out of your head sometimes when you're up there, especially like, you know, dude, I'd imagine for you, even it's like, don't play a show for a couple of weeks. It's like just being in your head of like, fuck, how do I do this again? You know? And for me, it was like that,
yeah,
you know,
dude,
and
always.
Yeah. And I said to Chino, I was just like, I'm like, can you imagine that this was like all we fucking did? Like, you know, the year the record came out, we did like a crazy amount of shows, like 100-something shows, dude, that year, you know? And it was just like,
that's gnarly.
Yeah, it was just gnarly, dude, because we were really going for it. You know what I mean? And it's just And then you think about it now and it's like, oh yeah, we'll play like once a year. But I'm going to say this, man, I'm glad to have the outlet. So I said this the last time, but I'm super thankful again to Death Threat, you know, for having us on and doing it. Cause I would have felt like shit if we would have not been able to do it. And then seeing that flyer, you know, without us on it. So, yeah. End of One was next. I thought they were fucking great, man. This was the first time I've seen them since they've been a band again. Shout out to Ben Grippo, bass player.
I love Grippo,
yeah,
dude.
Connecticut hardcore institution.
All day.
I thought they were great. What did you think of them, Nick? And explain them to some of our listeners who might not be familiar with their sound.
Dude, I thought they were great. Again, it's, you know, they're, you know, like one of those bands that I never saw when they were an actual band. It was like just before my time.
Right.
And now that they're back, I mean, they got that cool, like kind of like metal.
It's like a death
hardcore.
Metal. Yeah. Metal.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Hard.
It's just heavy, dude. It's just heavy. It was good. It was great.
And they got,
I thought they sounded super good, you know? So it's another one, you know?
Yeah. And they have Ricky who plays in Vomit Forth,
right.
Who's also in the band. Yeah, I thought they were good. And same thing with them. Like the same thing I said, like, you know, about C4 and Dead Wrong and even us. It's like everybody was having like these little pockets of bursts, but you could tell that everybody was waiting for the fucking the next band we're going to talk about. Because like when they came on, it was like, fucking forget about it, man.
Yeah, including myself. I'm not going to lie.
No, I mean, dude, bro, you saw me fucking, I haven't done that in a long time. Let's talk 100 Demons, dude. I got to say, Nick, I thought to me very much neck and neck with Death Threat for like it being their show. You know what I mean? Like Demons was fucking insane.
So this is my theory on that. I really honestly, not to take anything away from Death Threat, because they are literally my favorite band.
No, I know that.
Not to take anything away from them, but I felt like maybe Demons, I know it was their show, but Demons should maybe have headlined that show because nobody knows when they're going to see Demons again. Like, yeah, they're planning on maybe doing a last show, but we also heard Pete that night going, I don't even want to be here. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like, you know, is it going to happen? Maybe. There's probably a good chance. But at the same time, you know, you just never know. And I think that's like a big selling factor for people like me, like where 100 Demons are also in my top bands for sure. I'm like going to go all out when I see Demons because I don't know if I'm going to get a chance to see them again where Death Threat's kind of become a little more active again, you know, like they're playing more shows and stuff.
Yeah, totally. I felt that. I agree with what you're saying too. And you know, like you know, who knows how many shows Demons is going to do left. I always hate giving a number because Pete and the band haven't said anything, you know, so I know there's been some posts and Yvonne has said a couple things here and there, but until I hear it from Pete, I kind of don't like to speculate, you know, but
I think he briefly mentioned it at that show.
Oh,
that
did he? Okay. Yeah. It was like,
They were planning on doing like one last big show.
Okay.
But, you know,
yeah. Cause there was just so much going on, man. I was like a lot to take in, you know, that place. For anybody who's been at the State House and maybe you were at like a Mind Force show or something that's crowded, this was like, I mean, Nick, what would you say? Probably like another 100 to 100 something oversold, like easy.
For sure. I mean, with guest lists and people, you know, like important people getting in and all that kind of stuff, there was a lot of people there. If you've been to a sold out show, like if you know, like went to the show last night, you know, like the Tsunami show or whatever.
Yeah, which we're going to talk about.
That was also sold out, you know what I mean? But
you still had room, though, you know, yeah.
Yeah, it didn't feel like it was nearly as packed as it was at 100 Demons, right? So it's like 100 Demons Death Threat show, so.
Yeah, no, I agree, man. So, yeah, 100 Demons, to me, the set list I thought was fucking great. They sounded
perfect.
They sounded fucking great, man. They played with Full Stacks.
Reese sounded was... so it sounded just so gnarly and heavy and just like it sounded like the it's probably the best I've heard them sound in a while.
I would agree.
No.
Like I said, man, it I haven't probably, and no joke, dude, I don't think I've done any kind of stage dive or moshing or anything in a good probably 15 years or so. But dude, I just fucking couldn't help it. I felt like a young, you know, I felt like that young kid again.
Oh,
and I know,
it's been happening to me too much lately.
Yeah, I fucking, you know, I dove and I crushed Yvonne and it was great. Cause it was just like, it just reminded me of just having a good time. Like I said, I thought the set list was great. Yeah. Everything about it was great.
The energy was there. You know what I mean? The crowd was there. Everybody, you know, people were just loving it, dude.
Yeah,
that's like,
dude,
when that room exploded. So,
and luckily, like you said, man, no fights. Like it was pretty, like not even like there was just not even really any situations, which was cool. You know, you almost expect that with this kind of lineup, you know. But it was really good.
Yeah.
Let's get into the Death Threat one. This was a lot of fun for me, Nick, because it was the original lineup.
Yeah.
And though, you know, like again, the original lineup guys, I got to work on that record with those guys, helped connect the dots with Triple Crown and Death Threat when Voice Reason was on there, and got, you know, put Fred in touch with those guys. So I have a huge history with, you know, particularly that lineup, also with the new lineup with Wes and Tio, but like there's a lot of memories with that kind of record, the Last Days record, and just kind of all the shit that Jossa did with it and had going on with it. So it was awesome to see, you know, Larry and Jamie, you know, just all those guys up there. And I saw that they just announced a European show for that.
Well, that's going to be cool.
I forget the name of the fest. Revolution Fest, maybe?
I think it was Rev Fest or something.
Rev
I think
Fest.
You're close. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, we'll put a picture up of it. But so I saw they were doing that. What did you think of Death Threat, man? I thought... you know, I hate using the word great over and over, but yeah, I mean, this whole night was just so awesome. Again, set list was fucking perfect. The energy was great.
Anytime we get fucking Jamie behind the drums, mucking Hucker, I can never say his last name, but anytime he gets behind the drums, I'm all for it, dude. He's like one of my favorite drummers of all time. So.
Oh yeah. I got to talk to Jamie. That's the first time I seen him, probably since they did the shoot. Were you at the shows they did at the Space when they did the first time they did the OG lineup?
Yeah. Like what was it, like a 15 year one? I saw they played like in Chicopee. They played in like Western Mass. They played one with the OG lineup that I was at for sure.
Okay. Yeah. So I hadn't seen Jamie like since then, but we've stayed in touch on social media. It was great to see him. And dude, like you had originally said, there were so many friends who came out. So like, shout out to Ian from Blood for Blood who drove down.
Yeah.
You know, like there was just so many people. And then like getting to see like, you know, a dude like Jamie see Ian for the first time in a long time. And just a lot of like, dude, the friendship vibe was so sick. Like, you know, man, I always say to my fiance Vivian, it's like that feeling of Friday, bro, is like what I chase all the time. And I'm sure you could relate to that. It's like, just fuck, man. You know, that everyone around me is awesome. This is awesome. Shit, yeah, ain't just that serious, you know?
Like legit, just like, you know, the younger vibe, like feeling like your younger self again. You know what I mean? Like no cares, no responsibilities. You know, they're there, but like you just in that moment, you just can be like, you know, remember how like you just could care less about a lot of things back then. So it's like that's what hardcore shows always do for me, is I always feel like kind of put you back in a place so you feel like yourself again, you know what I mean, like where you're just kind of acting the rest of your day. So
yeah, no, I agree, man. That's a great sentiment, man. So yeah, Friday was a success. It was really awesome. I thank again everybody who came out to that. So Nick, let's go to the next day. So you actually were pretty busy the next day, man. Let's talk about your show. You were playing a little, celebrating 20 years of something else at the Palladium. Yeah. Where were you the next day on Saturday that you couldn't be in Connecticut?
So we got asked to play the Bury Your Dead 20 year, and then they did this whole thing where they had like all three singers there, and they
awesome.
Did this whole like, it was cool. It was super sold out. Like when I say that, like
yeah, it was like Death Threat Part 2.
Yeah, like I mean, upstairs Palladium's 500 cap, right? And there was probably like close to 700 people in
Holy
that room.
Shit.
With like just like staff and bands, and then Bury Your Dead had something like a 75 person guest list.
Holy shit.
And I got a bunch of people in, and you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
It was just like, it was crazy. It was honestly, it was a blast, and it was like a kind of, it reminded me a lot of just like the, again, like it felt like an old time. There were so many old friends there that I hadn't seen in forever. And
oh, I can, dude!
Like,
I can only imagine, because that's pretty much. Is that was that like? Would you say that was Bury Your Dead's like hometown, for lack of a better?
Oh, for sure,
for
like
sure, yeah.
Palladium, I would say is probably like their venue. You know what
yeah,
I mean? Like,
I agree.
If you had like a home turf venue, probably mm-hmm. the Palladium. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, dude, I remember watching Bury Your Dead super early on. Like my boy Rich Casey used to play bass for them in like their first incarnations. You know, so And then Brendan was playing with them too.
Yep.
I mean, dude, I just remember that band becoming huge. It was fucking wild to watch.
Yeah, I think Slim gave me their demo, like outside of the Palladium, like at a metal fest. Like, and they're like, "Yo, check this band out. It's kind of a joke, but like, this demo came out pretty good." You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and it's like the lineup. Let's go over the lineup, because I want to talk about all the bands and you guys actually did something pretty cool for this show too. You released a new song right before this, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Like a couple days before the show, Matt had,
tell everybody who Matt is for those who aren't, just so the listeners who don't know.
Matt Brusso is pretty much the second singer of Bury Your Dead. Like
he's like the most known. Yeah. He's
for sure. He's on pretty much all of the bigger albums, quote unquote, mm-hmm. you know? And I was just talking to him about recording, and we were looking for somebody to do guest spots. And I was just like, you know what, dude, I have a perfect place that I would love if you could do a spot. And he ended up, you know, doing a spot on our record.
That's awesome.
And we popped that out a couple of days before.
So were you guys already, were you on the show before you recorded the song, or did that come together like after?
He asked us to play that night when he came into the studio.
Oh,
so,
sick. Oh, so he heard the track
like
and was
big,
like...
It was like a big surprise. You know what I mean? We were all like, yeah. Well, like, even
like,
if we had something else going on. I knew the Death Threat show was that day. And it wasn't even announced yet, but I... obviously, I'm really good friends with Wisdom and War.
Yeah, which we're going to talk about them.
Chanel does a track with us too on our new record, so she was there, and you know what I mean, so it was just like a whole thing, you know.
That's crazy. Yeah, I mean, like I said, when I saw the videos you posted from that, I mean I knew that shit was gonna be packed, but again, watching it was crazy. Let's go over the lineup. I'm not familiar with the first two bands, Hell Horse and Blood.
Blood Tithe, yeah.
Blood Tithe, yeah. I didn't want to say it wrong. Tell us a little about those bands.
So Hell Horse, I know it has a few members. I don't know if you remember that band In Remembrance. They're from like
it sounds the familiar. Shore.
They're from like you know, like out by Boston, like from the shore, South Shore, I think. And they're just like a good like metal, that metal, heavier hardcore metal mix. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. very good, solid band. Graciously allowed us to use their drum shells and stuff like that.
Awesome.
Us and Blood Tithe, so always, you know, thankful for that. You know, make things go smoothly. Yeah, they were great. They sounded awesome. You know what I mean? Definitely up and coming. I don't know how long they've been a band. This is I've heard of them slightly before this, and I know they're good friends with a lot of our friends. So
awesome.
It was cool to play with them and meet them. We'll definitely probably do some stuff together in the future. So
awesome. And then Blood Tithe?
Blood Tithe, my boys, dude. I love Blood Tithe.
What do they sound like with a name like that?
They're like a death metal band, like straight up. They're just like, honestly, like one of my favorite, like quote unquote newer bands. They're not really that new, but like, I fucking love them so much, dude.
That's awesome. And then you guys played next. How was your set? Tell me about that. I know you were excited because we were talking about it before that, but how was your set, man? How'd the reaction go? How did you feel about it?
Bro, I was so nervous. I'm not gonna lie. I've played a lot of crazy shows like in the past, but yep. like not since like forming this band really. It was great. It was probably the best set that we've ever had as a band. I would say like energy wise and people singing along, and it felt like we were an established band. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
that's cool. Yeah, well, and you know, it's like, cool so to see you guys nice. Like nice in the middle of that mix. You're not like opening the show or anything either, you know. So you're like a little
right.
You're right in the middle of that. After that was what is that? Edict.
Edict. Yeah, yeah. So that's Joe Kruko, the original singer of Bury Your Dead's new band. And it has like, as George from Drop Dead.
Oh, sick.
It has a bunch of older dudes from like Rhode Island in that general area, all from like other bands that you just be like, holy crap, like you know what I mean, like. And their drummer's like the only young kid in the band. You
what's
know,
it like, sound, what's it sound like?
It's just like mosh metal, like heavy, you know, nice. Like very, very much like along the lines of Bury Your Dead, just a little bit. I would say a little bit more metal.
Okay.
You know what I mean? On the more metal side of a Bury Your Dead style band. So
awesome. And
they're great too. You know, I mean, I definitely say people like check them out. They're all their recordings are incredible.
That's awesome. And then Great American Ghost. Now this is a band. I'm going to be honest. I've seen their name obviously over the years, a bunch. I don't think I've ever listened to them. Not because of anything, just have not gotten to it. What is, I gotta imagine. I mean, they're playing second to last on this. They're probably gotta be pretty big.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're just like one of those bands that just grinds, right? Yep. Like they tour quite a bit, and they put a lot of into their music, and they always record with like Will Putney and stuff that. You know what I mean? They always pump out really high quality tunes.
Oh, like, I gotta listen to it just based on that. I'm a huge fan of Will's production, so I'll have to listen just based on that.
Yeah, I mean, they just, like, they crush. They're, like, Ethan's been a really good friend of mine for, I don't know, probably 20 years. He's the lead singer.
And how was the reaction when they played? Was the crowd just fucking going
ape? Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah, yeah, they got a you know, a really good stellar reaction. They play the Upstairs Palladium at least once a year, you know what I mean?
Oh, crazy.
On another, like, big tour or something, so.
Awesome. All right, now tell the listeners and myself. I want to know about Bury Your Dead, man. How was it?
Oh, dude, I'll tell you, Bury Your Dead. The energy was just like unreal. I'm sure you saw some of the video clips and yep. stuff.
Yeah, there. I mean, it looked fucking wild, man. I gotta admit.
It was awesome. I mean, like, even if you're not a fan of Bury Your Dead in general, like. It was just, you know, like middle-aged men, like 30 plus year old guys, just literally being children again, dude. You know what I mean? Yep. Like just having the time of their life and just sending their bodies into oblivion and jumping off of things. And you know what I mean? And just singing their hearts out, man. It was great. It really was. It was awesome.
And no, so what was the set list like? Because I saw that they were going to have other... Did they have just Joe come back on vocals, or was there other guys there? Like, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so they had Joe. Kruko came and did a bunch of songs, a bunch of the old songs, right? And then they had the lead singer of Volume. Well, he sings for the band Volumes now. I'm going to get his name wrong. I'm never going to remember.
It's all good.
But he did one of the albums in the middle there that was like a little bit more singy and melodic. It wasn't something I was like into. You know, it's like one of those albums that you, an older fan probably didn't even realize happened. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, like, I know the singers. Right? I think he was like on the last record or whatever.
He's an incredible singer. Don't get me wrong. And it's not anything against him. It was just like not.
Yeah, that was like, listen, everybody was taking a chance. You know? The distance included. Yeah. Everybody was going for it at that at some point.
Throwing their dice. You know, you got to. Especially if you're trying to make a living off of it. You know, you got to go try to hit a home run once in a while, you know?
Totally.
So
that was your night. Now, so Saturday, I was at Death Threat night two. So I'm gonna go through this one pretty quickly too. So first up was Montclair. Nick, you familiar with them at all?
Yeah, I believe we played a show or two together, to be honest.
Super cool band from Connecticut, really nice kids. I was psyched to see them open that show. I thought this was a really good spot for them. Big show for them to open too, which was cool. Second up was Wisdom in War. Now, I know that you knew about them before. I gotta admit, and I'm gonna be honest, I was also not familiar with them, but dude, I fucking left right after their set just being like, this band is fucking awesome. So I'm gonna try to get them on an episode. I'd love to have them on.
I'm gonna tell you that I tell everybody when we're playing a show with Wisdom in War, or like when Chanel's around, you know, like even in the studio that day, Matt and Ethan's on our record too from Great American Ghost. So like when they were in the studio and Chanel was there and Chanel was about to do her tracking, I was like, you guys are not prepared. They didn't know what was gonna, you know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah,
and no, she's just so awesome.
the whole band, man. Like I never, it's, and I don't mean this in like, oh yo, it's very rare that, but like I don't usually leave, you know, like after someone's set going like, wow, that band was fucking great. I've seen a lot of bands, you know, like especially newer. I don't know how new they are. I don't want to say the wrong thing. They're new to me. But you know, like a newer band being like, fuck, that was great. But yo, they were dialed in. I want to shout out to Chanel because she stopped at the store, by Static Era before the show. And we chopped it up and I didn't even know she was in the band or playing, but they were great. I would love to do something with them. I'm going to throw that out there. I know that they're signed, so I'm not stepping on any toes, but just going to put it out in the universe that at some point I would love to work with that band.
Yeah, everyone should for sure check out Wisdom and War.
Yeah, they're on. They have a record on Unbeaten Records, so check that out. I have a feeling that you're going to be hearing a lot about them. I'm going to try to get Chanel on here because I think that it'd be cool to have her talk about it, and turn some of our fans. I think a lot of our fans would, or a lot of our listeners would be into that.
Absolutely.
Next up was Combust, who actually, this is the first time I saw them live. Big fan of theirs on record.
Great band.
They were fucking awesome. The one thing I'll say on this night versus the first night was like, I don't know if it's because it was like more of a younger crowd or whatever, but this shit was popping off like every band. So like Montclair had a reaction, Wisdom in War. Like it was just, it wasn't like saved up. You know what I mean? If that makes sense.
It was old versus the new.
It was old versus new. Yeah. After Combust was Age of Apocalypse, who I've always sung their love that band. Yeah, man, I've sung their praises a couple times. I want to try to get those guys on an episode too. I thought they were great. Setlist was great. After that was Mind Force. Everybody knows my feelings on Mind Force. One of my favorite bands. Shout out to Jay. They bring it every time. What was cool This time around was they did a Dismay cover, which I thought was super interesting. And
so
it got,
wild, dude.
Yeah,
I heard all about it.
Yeah, it got me so excited, man, just because their Connecticut bands don't even do that. So the fact that they did it and they just pulled it off perfectly was great. And then Death Threat doing their second night with our boys Wes and Tio and Andreas playing drums. You know, what else can I say? Perfect set list again. The energy was crazy. Yeah, it was just a really solid weekend, man. It was it's one of those things that it was so perfect that it makes me sad that we're going to lose the State House soon, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And then the last thing, Nick, I want to talk about before we go, I want to just review another show that we just went to, keeping, you know, our little recap of big sort of, you know, Northeast. There's been a ton of other shows, but these were kind of ones that we saw on our feed a bunch. Last night on Monday, this would have been Monday, March 27th, you and I were both at a show again at State House in New Haven. This was another sold out show. I was so excited for this lineup. It was Tsunami. We'll start from the bottom. First up was Paper Cut. This was their first show. My boy Sean Nyland, who also plays bass in The Distance and he's in Wreckage and a bunch of other cool, does a bunch of cool stuff. He was playing with these guys. So I had known about them a little bit before. And he was like, man, this is like everything you'll love. And I got to admit, he was totally right. The band was great. Did you catch them?
I did. You know, and they just had very well written songs. And I'm like looking forward to seeing like when they get their shit super tight, how like crazy it's going to be. Because I have a feeling it's going to be like mind blowing.
I agree, man. I feel like I could see them dialing it in as perfectly as Vane does, if that makes sense.
Right, right. Yeah, like, I know exactly what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Vane is such a, like, machine when you go see them live and play. It's just so...
Yeah, I got to see them on Sunday, so...
Oh, yeah. So, you know, I could definitely see... And I'm not comparing... Like, Paper Cut definitely doesn't sound like Vane or anything. There's a little comparison, but...
The same idea.
The same ideas, I could see them dialing that in perfectly. After them was Kidnapped, which is a... great Connecticut power violence band. Danny, shout out to Danny who fronts them. They were fucking great. I feel like everybody should do a shot when I say the word great, because you'll be fucking wasted. It's just the only word I could think about how much fun I've had the past. Like you said, Nick, I just feel like so young again and doing all this, you know, the past couple weekends playing and going out to all the shows on a fucking Monday.
Yeah,
and this, that,
yeah.
Thing, you know, did you get to catch Kidnapped?
I did. I mean, I got to see them on, so I went to a bunch of these shows. I love Last Wishes, which we'll get into.
Yeah, which we're going to get into that.
So I caught them on Friday too. Like they played in Holyoke and like Western Mass on Friday. So I caught them then too. And they played great last night as well. So
yeah, super fucking heavy. And his voice is just insane, dude.
It's like, great. It's great. It's like very unique, you know, and just.
Yeah, he sounds, it's just so heavy, the vocal, and he makes it look so, Danny makes it look so effortless, which is cool. Restraining Order, unfortunately, had to drop off, but we were replaced by Wreckage, who was super comparable. I have sung the praises of Wreckage many times. Again, their set list was solid, and the kids were just fucking eating it up. It's really nice to see a Connecticut, you know, most of the time Connecticut bands are super heavy. Or more like a mosh oriented thing. It's nice to see something a little different pop off.
They always just bring it so tight. They play so well. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like you cannot like go without respecting that. Like no matter what, even if you don't like Wreckage, they just play like they played perfect last night. I felt like they played just like phenomenally well.
I agree, man. They were very well. Let's talk next about Last Wishes, who I got turned on to this band when they put out their release on Days. I'm not familiar with them from before, and I feel bad saying that because I feel like I've been missing out, man. They were great. Again, do a shot right there, you know. they're fucking heavy. Like it's crazy. We're at the end of our episode. I'm tacking on an interview, a quick interview I did with those guys. So make sure you stay till the end to listen to that. It just reminded me of like I said that I was like, if Stillborn was still a label, they would have been like a top signing, if that makes sense.
For sure.
At all.
For sure.
Explain Last Wishes, Nick, because I know those are your boys. So maybe explain those to our listeners who might not be familiar with them. They're from overseas. Just give a little bit of background about them, please.
Right. Just a UK, like, you know, borderline beatdown hardcore band, man. Like, just bringing it.
It just
with
executed
the heaviest...
well. Like,
yeah.
Because I don't want to. I don't want to underestimate. Some people might listen to Beatdown and go, it's executed like perfect.
It's a lot more to it than a Beatdown record, right? But like, it's just mosh, you know, like just heavy parts everywhere. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Moshy, heavy parts everywhere. And it's just, I don't know. I fucking love that band. The first time I got to see them was like last year. They played Risk's record release.
Yeah, shout out to Risk too, who's doing their thing. I got to have Beach,
killing
PG
it.
On here.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Killing it. Yeah. So that was the first time I got to actually see them. So I tried to catch all the shows I could when they were here. So like I said, I saw them three times.
How were those other shows? All those other shows looked insane. I mean, this one was so
They
bad,
were so awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome for them. I got really psyched. Like I said, I hadn't met them. But going to the show last night, I knew I had wanted to grab an interview with them. One of the things Yvonne and I had talked about for the Diablos Digest was like just trying to turn on to some of like the other bands that like our listeners might not hear
for
about.
Sure.
They,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
I had wanted to show those guys some love. So there is a small interview after me and Nick talked to you guys. And then Nick, the night ended with Tsunami, who, yo, I gotta be honest, I could not wait to see them. I made sure. Like I said, I got there super early to get parking.
Yeah,
I didn't
want
to miss this shit. Shout out again to my boys, Seventh Circle, for making sure I got in and all that. Tsunami was so much fun to watch. It was like all younger kids just going insane and having so much fun. And it was like, that's what, like, I don't know, man. I hate that it sounds corny, but it was like, that's what hardcore shows are like. It was such a good time. Their music is awesome. Like I've always liked them recorded, so I was dying to see them live. Obviously, people have seen like all the viral videos and like whatever. But yeah, I thought they were fucking awesome. What did you think?
Again, man, like one of those bands that I haven't really gotten a chance to see other than Sunday and yesterday. And both sets were just bonkers, right? Like it was just super high energy, and like you said, all the young kids just fully sending their bodies into like another realm during their set, dude. I don't know how else to explain.
Yeah, it was crazy.
But they just do whatever, dude. They just literally do whatever they want.
It's so different from the previous shows we just recapped too. Like the kids,
right.
and I mean this in the best way possible. It's like it is so awesome to see that energy where everybody felt comfortable to have a good time and be themselves and just like not give a fuck about stuff. Whereas like in some of the other shows we talked about, you're definitely like having to watch yourself maybe a little bit more.
Sure.
So you know
for
what I mean?
Sure.
Than that. So like, shout out to Days and Seventh Circle for doing a great job on that show. Nick, we're going to wrap up, and I just want to thank you so much for helping me out with today's episode. Helping recap the past couple weekends. Where can our listeners catch up with you or keep up with you, I should say? Give us the Instagram, the band's Instagram. Give your own personal Instagram. Let us know what shows you got coming up. This episode will be out in a day or so, so everything will be pretty current from when you hear this.
Cool.
Yeah, Nick,
break
it down.
The most important thing I just want to plug, we're actually playing with Death Threat in Brockton.
Gatekeeper
Jam, dude. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
dude,
like,
I got a shout out. Let's actually really quick shout out Gatekeeper Jam, Colin.
For sure.
And doing
crushing
all that
it out there, dude.
Yeah, I
always.
Mean, he, dude, shout out to COA. I used to play in Brockton at a place called Club 121 way back in the day. And then we used to go out there when it was Tiger's Den. I have so much love for Brockton.
Oh.
Yeah, I have so much love for Brockton and Colin and the Gatekeeper thing they're doing. I mean, literally, dude, I feel like the first time I ever heard about Adrian was because they were on a Gatekeeper show. Shout out to Colin, who's doing his thing. So, yeah, you guys are playing a Gatekeeper show with Death Threat in Brockton. I saw that. Yeah, that's
April 14th. Yep. So yeah, not too far off.
No, and the lineup is sick. It's got you guys, Ankle Biter, who's making a lot of noise. Dude, the fucking Connecticut Kings, Pale Horse, who is
sure.
It's been fun to watch. Yeah, it's been awesome to watch them playing again. They're playing here Friday with Sick of It All. Back of the Neck, who everybody remembers from back then too. Broken Vow, shout out to them, and then Death Threat. So yeah, Gatekeeper 12, that's on 414 in Brockton. And then what else you got? So where can everybody keep up with you, Nick? What's your personal Instagram? And then give the actually, you know what, Nick, before we let you go, one of the interesting things you do, tell us a little bit about your business, because that's interesting to me really quick.
Yeah, so I'm like in this very cool position. I get to do like architectural salvage and antiques. I just get to go in these old buildings and like reclaim stuff and just hustle, man. It's like a hustle job for sure.
Yeah.
I love it, man. I'm in a great seat for it. I along with that, I do like the Brimfield Antique Show. So it's like this hand in hand, fucking one hand feeds the other.
Yeah. So yeah, awesome. Any of our listeners who are into that, make sure they follow Nick. What's your personal? Are you cool? Give out your personal IG.
To yeah, people? Yeah, okay. Yeah. If you can find me, it's just like at Nick X Burns X. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Pretty simple.
And then the band's Instagram.
Hard Target HC, and you can find that everywhere: Spotify, Apple, whatever. It's everywhere. Hard Target.
Awesome, man.
And my business is Mass Obtain. If you guys want to check out some old stuff, that's where I'm at. So
hell yeah. So yo, Nick, thank you once again for keeping Yvonne's seat warm and helping me on this episode too. One of the things, it was really important for me to kind of keep a consistent schedule. And I don't think I could have filled in the time just with me talking. So I appreciate you helping me this along, man. Again, shout out to everybody. Shout out to DannyDiabloMerch.com. Shout out to Force5Records.com. Make sure you are going to those sites, supporting Danny and all those things. He's got a bunch of new projects. Me and him are going to be doing a full Diablo's Den episode coming up. Just waiting to confirm the guest. But we're rocking, man. I'm trying to fill in as much gaps for you guys as possible. So once again, thank you to my boy Nick for doing this with me. Everybody stay on. Right after this, you're going to hear a short interview I did with Last Wishes at their show. Super cool band from UK. Really excited to turn you guys on to these. Other than that, stay subscribed to the YouTube, join the mailing list, all that good stuff, and we will talk to you soon. Thank you so much, everybody. Peace.
My name's Sam.
My name's Corin.
My name's Tommy.
Say your name one more time for me.
Corin.
Yo, so thank you guys so much for doing Diablo's Digest with us. Really excited you guys have been on tour, so I just wanted to catch up with the band. Tell me a little bit about you guys for those who are not familiar, our listeners who are not familiar. Tell us a little bit about Last Wishes.
So we're a band from the UK. We started in Ireland in like 2015, and then me and Tommy like relocated to Leeds in like 2019.
Awesome.
Recruited Sam and Adam, and yeah.
So here we are at 2023. So you guys are on the road right now. Did you start? How long ago did this tour start? When did you jump on for this?
So we've been doing this for about 2 weeks. We started in PA, sort of worked our way out to the Midwest, and then back to the East Coast, and we've just got one more show tomorrow in New Jersey.
That's awesome. And you guys have been here before. I caught you guys a couple of times. So how have you guys noticed coming over a couple of times, like the reaction? Has it grown a bunch, like,
yeah,
since the shows?
I definitely feel like coming over so much in like the 8 months that we've done it, like, has benefited us, like, in a good way, because kids just like seem to be going off harder and shit. So
totally. And you guys are on the right label too, so got a shout out Days on that one.
Shout out Lumpy.
So yeah, let's talk a little bit about that. What do you guys have out right now? You guys have a release on Days, so tell us a little bit about that.
The release of Days is Organized Hate. We released it last April, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was last April we released it. And the album's just about where, mostly about where me and Corin are from, which is Belfast in Northern Ireland. And just like growing up there, and the sort of climate of like the way people grew up there.
That's awesome. So let me ask you guys this, and anybody can answer it. How did you guys get exposed to hardcore being from over there? And what were some of the first bands, whether it was local to your region or bands from the States, like what were some of those first acts that inspired you guys to start this and get into the hardcore?
So I guess I kind of got into like just standard metal, and then through that I was sort of exposed to like Hatebreed and then Terror and then that sort of channel into hardcore, and then pretty quickly I caught on to like the Ruxham Records scene in the UK, so stuff like Knuckle Dust, yeah. Prowler, Bund 'Em Out.
Stamping Ground.
Yeah, right, Stamping yeah. Ground, awesome. Nine Bar. And then that was like my favourite shit basically since then. And I think that's kind of, that stuff's quite a big influence on Last Wishes as well.
Yeah. That's awesome. Is this your guys' first bands, or like, have you guys done other bands before this?
It's like me and Tommy's first credible band, but awesome. Sam's done a few before.
Yeah, I've been in like a few bands, and so has Adam, our drummer, so... You know, we've done a few things before, but this is sort of like the main thing that we do now.
That's awesome. Yeah. So it must feel pretty rewarding to be like coming over to the States, watching the reaction, especially like playing with Tsunami, all these sick. Bands. It's super sick. So the other thing I wanted to ask you guys was, how did you guys get connected with Lumpy and Days? Like, I mean, that's one of the hottest labels. Shout out to Days. How did you guys get connected with them?
Well, originally it was going through the Common Strife Records, Ollie. And then I think he sent like the promo song to Lumpy and he dug it. And then they wanted to like co-release it.
Awesome. And then here we are.
Here we are, yeah.
That's awesome, man. So what do you guys have planned next? So you guys, more new music? Or what's going on more?
We're writing new music now. We're going to do like an EP. We're doing an EP and then something else, and then we're gonna play Northern On Fest next month.
Awesome.
With, like Mind Force, Gridiron, Age of Apocalypse, bunch of sick UK bands.
That's awesome.
And then probably just record in the summer and then go away like to Europe or whatever.
Awesome. So yo, most of our listeners are from the East Coast, again, like super familiar with like Ezak's stuff, so a little bit older. Why don't you guys turn us on to some of the newer, younger bands, whether it's from your scene that we might not hear over here, or even just some of the younger bands that you guys have maybe recently played with. I think that's always really cool to put a little shine on some
of
these
guys. Think over here, like Fool's Gamer, a band to watch out for.
Yeah, I love them.
In the UK, it'd be like Nothing But Enemies, Malignant Methods. They're like my favorite two new bands.
That's awesome.
So check them out.
Awesome. Well, yo, guys, I really appreciate you taking a couple of minutes. We've been doing these kind of like mini episodes, but we'll definitely have to have you guys back on with Ezak so you can ask him some questions, because I'm sure that would be a trip.
Yeah.
Where can everybody keep up with you guys? Plug the Instagram. And
you can follow us at Last Wishes Hardcore on Instagram, and that's our like only social media platform.
Okay, awesome. And then hopefully we'll see you guys again in the States.
We hope so, yeah.
Right. Okay, awesome. So you guys here first. Yo, thank you so much to Last Wishes. This will be out soon. Thank you guys again.
Peace.
Ever wonder what a punch from Elton John feels like?
Or how you'd cope with having turned down the chance to be in Nirvana?
Or what signal Keith Richards gives when he wants you to get the hell out of his hotel room?
Fans of Too Much Effing Perspective don't have to wonder, because they've heard these exact stories and a jillion others on our podcast. I'm Alex Hoffman, former tour manager for Radiohead.
And I'm musician and comedy writer Alan Keller. On the TMEP show, we get guests like Nancy Wilson from Heart, Jeremiah Freights from the Lumineers, and Modern Family's Julie Bowen to tell us things they may have only shared with their therapist, clergy, or a TMZ stringer.
So join us on Too Much Effing Perspective. That's EFFING Perspective, the only podcast you crank up to 11. Oh.